Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's Danny Kelly here.
No, I can't keep it up. It's actually me, Andy Goldstein. Thanks, Danny Kelly, for doing yesterday's podcast. But I am back now, fresh from the snooker shootout from the Watford Coliseum.
What are you talking about? I didn't watch it.
Well, you should have. It was good. But I'm back. And I'm back with a bang, if you know what I mean. Because what a night of football we had last night. Liverpool came back from a goal behind, 2-1 down they were, to beat West Ham and take all 3 points. As you would imagine, happy, happy Liverpool fans, very annoyed West Ham fans. On my show, Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. on TalkSport.
Once again, West Ham United behind from a potentially winning situation. The goal scorer, Mane. It's Liverpool 3, West Ham United 2.
One thing that happened tonight is that David Moyes deserves the Ryan Allen Award. He comes to Anfield. I've seen more from that manager than Guardiola and Everton. He beat them with our kid. So as far as football goes, that West Ham set up for set pieces and took us at Anfield. And you've got to tip your hat for that. We take our 3 points, we get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I don't know. They were so poor at the back, Ryan.
In what sort of sense? In the fact that we weren't firing and like, they kept Anderson drop and
well, played no, the ball. I think that two of the goals at least could have been avoided.
Two of the goals were leaked, but how else were they ever going to score? They come up loaded on the set pieces and nearly took the chance. And that you've got to take your hat. Well, David Moyes has been underrated at Anfield for years. He come there for years with Everton, got laughed out the park. And I tell you something, he can walk out with his head held high tonight, David Moyes.
Moyes, the way he set the team up there, right? I don't really rate the guys, but you know what? He's done a good job there today. I know you guys are sitting there and saying Liverpool were at 70% or whatever it is and stuff like that. He turned around and said pre-match that he was going to defend, and he didn't do, right? What he'd done was like a psychological thing, and he'd done a really good game against Liverpool. I thought he was spot on.
I can't knock the performance to go to Anfield, champions of the world, do you know what I mean, and score 2 goals. I can't complain.
No, were they there for the taking tonight, do you think, Connor? It's one of the worst performances I've seen. Hold on 1 second, Connor. When I say that, I mean Liverpool have just been outstanding all season whenever I watched them. So do you think when they put on that performance and you're 2-1 up with 20 minutes to go, you've missed a huge opportunity?
Yeah, I think we should have got a point at least.
Now, from there, we can head over to the press box. Not a real one. Don't start thinking, I haven't got my car keys. I can't go to press. No, it's the name of a show. It's aptly named because I don't know why it's called that. It's just a show. Anyway, Danny Kelly was in the hot seat. Not really hot seat. Although if Danny Kelly was sitting on it, I suppose it was. Well, I can tell you it was very warm because after he left, I sat on the chair and I can confirm it was a hot seat. Alongside him was Kate Price's ex-husband, Simon Jordan, Sean Custis and Tony Evans talking about Tyson Fury.
And the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the Gypsy King.
It's wrong to be lionising Fury to such an extent and suddenly casting aside Anthony Joshua. I'm not a fan of Anthony Joshua's and I'm not an admirer. I think he's a flat-track bully. I think the reasons why people like Tyson Fury is because it's an authentic fight. He took a real fight. And Joshua's been stage managed. He even thought he could walk past Anthony Ruiz and make his American debut by looking good against a fighter that no one got a chance and he got caught short. And I'm glad he did to some extent. But the idea that somehow he's cast asunder and everything is Tyson Fury now is a bit imbalanced. And it's just the way sometimes things are. We need to celebrate brilliant. resilience.
Yes,
and
we do.
And too often in this country, we have a great culture of building people up so we can knock them down. We like the perennial loser. We like to see, with no disrespect intended, we like to see the Frank Bruno story where he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And of course, when he beat Oliver McCall, everyone was so thrilled in a very average heavyweight fight that he won and then got knocked out by Tyson. But in this instance, this is brilliance and he's British. And I think that's right to celebrate it.
Now we can head over to Jim White and Natalie Sawyer show called White and Sawyer. Actually, I think it's called the Mid-Morning Show, but that doesn't matter. Mark Clattenburg was on the show. He was talking VAR and the controversy surrounding it at the weekend.
It's the only league in the world that encourages the referees not to look at the screen. So now the Premier League referees aren't the referee anymore. It's the VAR, and this is where the inconsistencies lie, because if you've got inexperienced VAR instructing a very experienced referee, it can't be right. And, you know, Michael Oliver on Saturday, the Chelsea-Tottenham game, should be the one that makes the final decision, not Dave Coote, the VAR, in Stockley Park. And as a referee, I wouldn't be happy if I'm looking back at that after the game and not seeing that as a red card, because I'm sure Michael Oliver, if he'd went to the screen, the monitor, he would have given a red card. For sure, he would give a red card.
Hello, I'm Barry Glendenning, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Now, legally, we have to have at least one bald person on the podcast, not my rules, the World Podcast Association rules, and we've got one in Danny Murphy. He was saying that having more experienced referees at Stockley Park won't solve the problem. Also on Jim White and Natalie Sawyer's show, not called White and Sawyer, but the Mid-Morning Show. Yeah, I've already told you that.
I don't want to launch in, Danny, to this fella David Coote. It's not a personal attack, but we have to refer to it because it hasn't gone unnoticed that he was a VAR official for Chelsea-Tottenham at Stockley Park. And then he's on later on in the day for Leicester against City. But the major talking point, apart from the fact that Chelsea beat Tottenham, was the Lo Celso red card, which presumably, Stonewall, some bonker, red card. But he then goes into his duties as a VAR referee for Leicester City, knowing that all the talk is on the blunder regarding what happened at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I think we have to give that some perspective. There was a large gap between the two games for some rest and recuperation.
Bound to be in his mind.
Yeah, but that, if you apply that rule to referee, and you know, refs, every time they make a bad decision, how long do you give them off before they ref again? Is there an amount of time?
Well, no, surely not the same day. Surely they had to replace
them. I understand that argument, yeah. With hindsight, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something they'll address. I think... having someone monitoring whether they get decisions right and wrong is hard because some of them are subjective. You have to be quite concise with VAR at the moment because there's so many areas to talk about. If you're talking about, right, first, number one, level of the referees using the VAR equipment, communicating with the referees on the pitch.
Mm.
Mark Clattenburg then suggests that's a different skill set. That's what I just heard him say. I take his word for that. If that's the case, then how do we know who the best are at VAR? You know, is Michael Oliver, who's one of our best referees, is he capable of doing the Stockley Park role? If we're going on what Mark Clattenburg, what he's actually saying, if you narrow it down, is that the people doing the job of VAR referees at Stockley Park are all learning on the job.
Yes.
None of them have got experience. But even the experienced refs went to do it, they've not done it before. It's a different skill set, is what he's saying.
Therefore we have to accept
that there's going to be mistakes made from the VAR referees. Now, what I can't accept, and take away my views of not having VAR, because we're talking about the fact that it is here, what you can't accept is any excuse for bad communication in terms of, look, this is a bad tackle. Why don't you
go to the monitor?
Because this is a naughty one, and I'm not sure.
Because
he can't have been 100%. That wasn't a sending off. He must have been playing in his mind a little bit, because it's human nature to go, actually, did he mean it? Did he not? And as soon as that comes in your head, he should have passed it on.
Yes.
Why aren't they using the screens more? I get the time, but we're not talking about time with VAR, are we? Talking about right decisions is what they always insist on.
Time now to check in with the ginger fella in the loud shirts, Adrian Durham, or AD, as no one's ever called him. They should. AD. Yeah, they do call him that. But I think they call him that because Adrian could be AD. Like, I don't think they're using the D for Durham in the AD. I think it just, if anyone's called Adrian, like Adrian Lewis, a dart player, you probably call him AD. They do call him AD Lewis, and his surname begins with L. So really, if you're going by my prognosis, you should be calling him AL, but then that's out, and that changes his... Anyway, Adrian Durham was talking about VAR saying it's taking fans for a ride. That's nice, isn't it? VAR taking people out. Anyway, it's not fair on the fans. This is a heartfelt rant from Adrian Durham.
I'm full of admiration for fans, actually, for putting up with this rubbish. My tolerance level is just about peaking. The VAR mantra last summer was minimum interference, maximum benefit. But right now, we're considering law changes to accommodate VAR. The very presence of VAR has led many of us, including ex-players, to conclude that on-pitch ref standards are declining as they choose not to make decisions rather than get things wrong. They know they've got VAR to back them up. I mean, there's as much, if not more, controversy with VAR as there was before. VAR's not made it better. Even when Chelsea were awarded their first goal at the weekend after VAR checked it, their fans were still singing how much they hated VAR. It's a sad state of affairs, this. The game is, it's in a sad state of affairs when we've allowed the will of the referees to override the will of the fans. That's what's happened here. We've let the referees and what they needed take over from what was good for football fans, and I feel quite sad about that.
Back to boxing now, and Tyson Fury's former trainer, son of Harley, Ben Davison, said that Fury's decision to replace him and have a new trainer in his corner turned out to be the right one. Yeah, I mean, Iwaka told you that. He won, didn't he?
What's most important to me is Tyson being victorious, you know. I've got many years in this sport. Tyson had said to me that he wanted to adopt a more aggressive approach to it, and it was the right decision for him. It proved to be the right decision for him, you know. And obviously, I wanted him to be victorious more than anything. So, me and him, as well as a coach and trainer relationship, a coach and fighter relationship, we had a friendship that was more than anything else. So, you know, I wanted him to win. And if that meant that I wasn't going to be there, and put bluntly, if it meant that I wasn't going to gain from it financially, that doesn't matter, as long as what was best for him, and it proved to be the right decision. Tyson had actually said to me quite a while ago that he wanted to start fast and start hard against Deontay Wilder. He had actually said it to me that way, and I actually said to him, you know, there's a couple of ways you can go about it. You can Hagler Hearns him, or you can Sugar Ray Leonard Hearns him, and you know, a mix of that approach was what we was talking about. For him to actually go out there and do that showed enormous amount of minerals, let's put it that way.
Hello, I'm Max Rushton, and if you hear Barry Glendenning's version of this, you're listening to TalkSport Daily, please let me know on Twitter, because he's convinced they won't use it, and I don't think they'll use it either.
Back to the mid-morning show now, and Spencer Oliver was on, saying that Deontay Wilder is the worst heavyweight boxer ever to win a world title. I'm not sure he's got that right. Four words, Andy Ruiz Jr.
Take his power away, Deontay Wilder, and he's probably, and this is and this is my honest opinion, I think that he's probably the worst technical heavyweight boxer in history to have won a world title. I mean, he's got no boxing ability. I mean, he throws a jab and he rushes in at fast pace to land the right hand, and that's where the power comes from. From the third round onwards, his legs never recovered, Wilder's. You could see that his legs were too far apart and the balance was terrible. He was all over the place, and all he was doing was looking for that one big shot. And then, and funny enough, in the build-up to that, Deontay Wilder kept referring to this 36 minutes of a fight, 12 rounds, 3 minutes each round, I've just got to land one right hand. So I think that was in the back of his mind. And you can't land a right hand without landing the jab, without finding the range. And that became evident as the fight unfolded. And from the third round onwards, he never recovered. And it was a historic moment for British boxing. It really was.
Time now to hear from old Breadhead, as certain players have referred to him. Not me. I would give him the utmost respect. Probably say, Mr. Allardyce, hello, how are you? Do you want a pint of wine? Anyway, this is him talking about how he tried to buy Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang when he was at Everton, and how important it is that Arsenal try and keep hold of him.
It was about 60 million or 70 mil, I think. I don't think we could go that far at the time, but we were searching for goals since Lukaku went, and I just wanted to sort of test the fact.
Did you get talking to him? Did he want to come?
Only through a couple of through his agent. We had a shout that, you know, he was that desperate to get away from Germany, get into the Premier League. Apparently, we thought we'd have a dab. We didn't get very far, to be fair. I don't know what Arsenal are going to do. They can't afford to let another one run out of contract, I don't think, when his value is going to be taken up. If he doesn't sign a contract by this summer,
he's got to go.
They'll have to sell him, and that's a great shame for Arsenal fans and Arsenal, because what he's done in goal terms has been absolutely miraculous.
Yeah. And he's quality, isn't he?
He's quality.
Clinical, the way he just tucks him away, brilliant.
He's one of the few players, Alan, that loves to run in behind.
Mm.
He doesn't want to come to feet. He wants balls played down the side of the centre house and the full-backs in the channel, and he gets on the end of it and he slots them away. And I've been very impressed with a couple of headers he's done recently as well in the box, where he's got up there and got in. And sometimes, even from wide, where he's been played on a number of occasions, has scored goals from there. But I know he prefers to play up front.
And staying with football, we can hear from John Motson, legendary commentator, who's talking about Bruno Fernandes could be the signing to save Manchester United's season and Solskjaer's job. This was on one of my favourite shows, Hawksby and Jacobs, where, of course, Max Rushton was... Oh, fast forward this bit, it's going to be rubbish.
Should we just do Man United before the break? There were two lovely goals. I mean, Bruno Fernandes got a lot of the headlines.
Yeah.
The finish from Greenwood was great, but Martial's finish, Motti, is superb, isn't it?
I think that, and I also think that Bruno Fernandes is going to be a terrific player for Manchester United. That could be the signing that sways the future, the short-term future, of Manchester United under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think this guy can provide them with an element that they didn't have. And I think when you think that they've got players, well, obviously not quickly, Rashford and so on, to come back, I mean, I think they're beginning to look like a team.
Yeah,
I mean, that was two wins in a row, which hasn't happened very often under Ollie. I think it's only the third time. But Manchester United are now in a proper challenging European position.
It's amazing how crises begin and end so quickly in the Premier League, isn't it?
Now, that's nearly it, but of course, there's always time for a bit more Sports Bar Love. My show, Andy Goldstein's, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Lots happened in tonight's show, including Name That Kickoff Time, Midnight Train of Madness, Boxing Chat with Dan Raphael, and lots of other bits and pieces. I don't know what Tom, the producer, is putting in, but if all of that and more isn't in it, let me know. Tweet me, Andy Goldstein 05. Use the hashtag SackTom.
For Deontay Wilder. And he's got a spectacular outfit on. What do you make of that? That like a Diamante Spider-Man.
That's the best description I've heard all day.
That was a heavy-looking costume. And Deontay told me he was wearing the gear for like 15 minutes before he even walked to the ring. Not the helmet, but the whole get-up. And then you put the helmet on. You're going to restrict your breathing a little bit. It was, if you watch the fight, you know it was a very long and protracted and sort of dramatic ring walk. So he was in that for a little while. Then he's got to go up with all the gear on, up the steps. You know, my advice to any prize fighter, you know, you want to do an elaborate ring walk, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Don't wear a costume. If Tyson Fury had gotten knocked out, he certainly would have had the right to exercise a rematch clause also. It just so happened that it was Deontay Wilder on the short end of the night, and he's going to exercise his rematch clause. So we're going to see this fight again, and there's going to be a lot of hype and a lot of excitement about it. And, you know, we'll see a lot of questions. You know, he'll realize that you have to do things a little bit differently. Tyson Fury will have to see if he can, you know, put on another great performance like he did, where he told us what he was going to do. And not only did he go out there and try to do that, he executed it perfectly. Can he do it a second time? There will be a lot of intrigue and a lot of questions in the rematch. Yes, we'd like to see Fury versus Joshua, obviously, but I'm perfectly fine with the trilogy fight since that's what we all knew we were going to get anyway.
15 years ago, I was on the top of a mountain in France, right, in the Pyrenees where I live, and my daughter was having her 15th birthday. Right. And what she wanted to do was camp on the top of a hill. Right. And I had a...
Josh, you snored him off. We won't get back to 2035 now.
He just snored Martin off.
Wow.
You know,
that's his best story in 15 years. I bet he's fun in the pub.
No.
Martin's coming in.
Don't have a pop at Martin. He's taking 15 years. It's a good story. It's a good news story.
15 years, that's what he's got. He's got the old recycling clothes story. 15 years. It's taken Martin 15 years to phone up with the old... And would you believe it, the clothes on.
He's thinking, what's my best story in 15 years? What can I put
I want to know the one he thought, actually, that's not good enough. That's the one I want to hear.
Close second. I don't think the midnight trains for him, though. I'm going to say that.
No.
I'm not... Well,
Jay's still talking.
I'm getting on a bit, and it was on my bucket list anyway, so there you go.
Oh, okay. What a great story, Martin.
Okay, love... okay.
Thanks, Martin.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye. There you go.
Definitely.
He's not, he told the whole story while he was off air.
He was talking over. He's near us.
He was talking the whole time. Whole story.
And that was on his bucket list. We haven't got a clue what's on his bucket list.
And that was on my bucket list. But that's it for another podcast, I think. Good work, everyone. A quick reminder, of course. If you like it, you're thinking, oh, I like more of this, but how can I do it? It seems to be the only one. Firstly, sort your voice out. And secondly, of course, you can go to Acast, Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get more of the same. A quick reminder before I go, live commentary of the Champions League match between Napoli and Barcelona. Why haven't you got the English games? Too expensive. Is on TalkSport 2. Ray Stubbs presents commentary from Ian Danter and Paul Parker. That's it. Make sure you join me and the Fun Boy from 10 p.m. tonight on the back of the other game involving Chelsea from 10 p.m. on TalkSport. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.